हरे कृष्णा। सो वंस अगेन आई वुड लाइक टू रिपीट समथिंग दैट आई हैव हर्ड अबाउट गोवर्धन पूजा। टुडे इज द मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस डे ऑफ performing this wonderful puja, and as all of you can see, the devotees have in front of you arranged for this beautiful puja. It is said that the real path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to Vrindavan, he performed the Govardhan Parikrama, and he saw every stone on this mountain as non-different from the body of Lord Shri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. We read how when Krishna appeared, it was his order to the Brijavasis. At the time when Indra Puja was supposed to be observed, that the residents of Vrindavan should worship Govardhan Hill. And a very important part of that worship is that all the devotees, all the gopas and gopis, they circumambulate Govardhan Hill, and this gives great pleasure to Lord Shri Krishna. Later on, Madhavendra Puri, he too performed the Govardhan Puja and the Parikrama. Ishwara Puri, Lord Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, they all with great, great devotion circumambulated Shri Govardhan. The six Goswamis, they considered this Govardhan Parikrama such a very integral part of their bhajan. Raghunath Das Goswami, he resided near Radhakund at Govardhan. And Sanatan Goswami would circumambulate the Govardhan every day, even when he had reached a very old age. We read in our Vaishnava scriptures that Narottam Das Thakur, Srivas Acharya, they performed Govardhan Parikrama. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also resided near Govardhan Hill. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they had their place very near the Govardhan Hill, and they would regularly perform the Govardhan Parikrama. And our own beloved Param Guru, the founder Acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, when he was performing his last pastimes of disappearing from this world, just days before that, before his departure, when his body was in such a condition of old age, and literally he was just skin and bones in ecstatic loving separation from Krishna, at that time, he expressed his desire that he would like to go round Govardhan Hill. In this way, he established the very, very important and sacred nature of this worship. After Srila Prabhupada left his body, a few devotees, they took his murti and did the parikrama of Govardhan Hill. Let us look at the origin of this wonderful mountain known as Govardhan. In the highest of all the Vaikuntha Lokas in Krishna Lok, there is a neighborhood called Golok Vrindavan. There, Radha and Krishna, with their internal associates, are eternally enjoying pleasurable pastimes. Garga Samhita explains how from Lord Sri Krishna's heart swung his infinite love for Srimati Radharani in the form of Govardhan Hill. It is explained that once, after the Rasa Leela, Srimati Radharani expressed her desire to Lord Sri Krishna, saying that, "My Lord, if you are pleased with us, if you are pleased with this performance of Rasa, please bestow upon us one benediction. Kindly make some arrangement where we can have our intimate pastimes here." So Lord Sri Krishna meditated, and from deep within his heart, as a result of his meditation, a very small, tiny drop of fire and water appeared right in the middle of the Rasa circle. And this drop suddenly enlarged into a stone, then into a rock, then into a hill, and then into a mountain. It had such beautiful facilities like caves and rivers and gardens and pastures that made the ideal situation for Lord Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani and their intimate associates to have their wonderful, wonderful pastimes. Govardhan Hill is thus one of the most pleasing and important places in Golok Vrindavan to assist the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their devotees. When it came time for Krishna to descend into this universe, Srimati Radharani told him that, "I will be very unhappy to enter the material world unless there is Yamuna and Govardhan. We need them to enact all our pastimes." Krishna explained that the Yamuna and Govardhan have already descended into this material world. The king of mountains, Sri Giriraj, descended into the Himalayas as son of Dronachal. When Govardhan took birth amongst the species of the mountains, all the neighbors, all the other mountains were very happy and they were celebrating. They were so happy that the one who gives the pleasure to the Lord is now their neighbor and associate. However, one day, Pulasya Muni, he was traveling he has his ashram at Varanasi. And when he saw this beautiful mountain, he approached his father, Dronachal, and requested to him that at my ashram, we do not have any mountains. In order to facilitate my meditation and bhajan, please allow me to take Giriraj to Varanasi. With a very heavy heart, Dronachal gave his permission, but Govardhan made a condition. He said that I will go with you, but anywhere you place me to the ground, I will not move from that place. So Pulasya Muni began his journey, and by his mystic powers, and of course by the blessings of Govardhan, he carried this mountain and was flying towards Varanasi. But please understand one thing. Govardhan came to this world only to assist Lord Krishna in his divine pastimes in Vrindavan. So as Pulasya Muni was passing by Brajabhumi, by the will of the super soul within his heart, he had an unbearable urge to respond to the calls of nature. Thus, he had to place Govardhan down, and he performed his duties, and as he is a Brahmana, after that he took his bath, and he came back to where he had placed Govardhan and tried to lift him. But Govardhan would not budge. Pulasya Muni was very angry. At that moment, he cursed Govardhan. And he said that I curse you that every day you will reduce in size to the size of one mustard seed every day. Actually, this was a benediction for Govardhan. He was so happy to receive this curse, because in his heart he was thinking that I have appeared on this earth only to give pleasure to Lord Krishna and his associates. Now, this was in Satyayuga. At that time, the height of Govardhan Hill was about 16 miles. So, Govardhan was feeling that the cowherd boys, Krishna with his friends, and his sakis and gopis, if he has to enact his pastimes, it will not be very pleasurable for them to climb such heights, and my peaks are snow-capped. So in his heart, he was very happy that by the time Lord Krishna comes to this universe, to this material earth, his size would have become absolutely the right size for them to perform their pastimes. So when Lord Krishna was on this earth, the height of Govardhan was about 2 miles, and today it is 80 feet. It is said that the rate at which the Govardhan is shrinking by the size of one mustard seed each day, the time when we cannot see Govardhan anymore will be the time when Kali Yuga will have its full effect in this material world. Srimati Radharani herself, she is the Lord's Ladini Shakti, and the supreme most reservoir of all devotion. She has declared Govardhan with the name of Haridas Varya, which means he is the best of all devotees of Krishna. Yudhishthir Maharaj is known as Haridas. Uddhav is known as Haridas. But only Govardhan is known as Haridas Varya. Why? Because Sri Giriraj pleases Krishna the most by giving pleasure not only to him but also to his devotees, the cows, the cowherd boys, and all his other associates. Thus we can understand from Srimati Radharani, from her own words, that the best devotee is that devotee who gives their very life to serve the servants of the Lord. Govardhan exhibits ashtasatvik vikar, which means the ecstatic symbols of love for Krishna, and he does it to an unlimited degree. We will only discuss three prominent ecstatic symptoms which Govardhan exhibits. They are standing of hair on the body, unlimited tears flowing from the eyes, and perspiration. These are three types of ecstatic symptoms which, when devotees develop love of God, they sometimes exhibit. Now, Giriraj, he is exhibiting these three symptoms. As far as the standing of hair on his body is concerned, the beautiful, beautiful green grasses that cover Sri Giriraj, they are his hair on his body, which stand on end. Now, these hair are also exhibiting some very special features. One of them is Sugandha. That is, it is unlimitedly fragrant. Each blade of grass has such ambrosial, intoxicating fragrance that there are hundreds and hundreds of millions of such blades of grass, each emanating the fragrance to give pleasure to Krishna, Balram, Gopa, Gopis, and especially to the cows. Another quality of this grass is Sukomala, which means that they are very, very soft. Each blade of grass which grows on Govardhan, it is being personally orchestrated by Govardhan in such a way that they become very soft for the ultimate pleasure of the lotus feet of gopas, gopis, and the hooves of the cows. And when the cows eat this grass, not only is it very nectarine in flavor, but it is so soft that it never cuts their tongue or their lips. The third quality of the grass is Pushti Vardhana. That grass of Govardhan is very, very nutritious. When the cows eat this grass, they never get tired, they never feel exhausted or thirsty, and they can never catch any type of disease. And the fourth quality of this grass is Dugdha Sambhaka. This grass, when eaten by the cows produce the best quality of milk. This milk is like ambrosia. and Srimati Radharani and Yashodamai and the gopis, they use this milk which is produced by these cows who are grazing on the grass of the Govardhan, and they make unlimited preparations for Krishna and Balaram for their pleasure. The grass of Govardhan is always watered not by ordinary rain, but because the cows are so satisfied eating these grass that milk is constantly profusely flowing from their milk bags. The grasses of Govardhan are watered by the milk of the cows. Surabhi cow and even the demigods in heaven, they bring their horses down to Govardhan to eat this grass. And the sun god, being so pleased, he gives his most nourishing and special sun rays to help grow the grasses of Govardhan. This was the explanation about the first ecstatic symptom, that is about the hair on his body standing on end in the form of the grass. The second symptom, as we mentioned, is the tears of Sri Giriraj, which manifest as the innumerable waterfalls, rivers, lakes and ponds. At the time of Lord Krishna, and if we have the eyes to see, even today, we can witness that the little rivers of Govardhan are flowing. They are flowing on rocks of gold. And these rocks are decorated with jewels like emeralds, diamonds and rubies. And to see the beautiful forms of the crystalline clear waters of Govardhan, which are the tears of Govardhan cascading on these rocks, is the most beautiful of all sights to see. The waters of Govardhan are the liquid prema coming straight from his heart. And as Krishna and his cowherd boys bathe in these lakes, Sri Govardhan has the opportunity to embrace them each and every day with these waters. The waters of Govardhan are so sweet and nectarine because they are the offering of his love, that when Krishna and the gopas, when they drink that water after feeding the cows, they become so intoxicated that they roll in the grass in ecstasy and chant and dance. The third symptom, perspiration. The perspiration of Govardhan is the morning dew that covers him to give very, very cooling, refreshing pleasure to Sri Krishna and Balaram. Not only that, Govardhan is constantly meditating and serving Lord Sri Krishna. The stones of Govardhan during the winter, they become comfortably warm. And during summer, they become cool and refreshing. The gopis sometimes feel great distress in their hearts that Krishna is traversing Govardhan Hill and through the pastures of Vrindavan. His feet are so very, very soft. What will happen if he steps on a hard stone or a rock? What to speak of a thorn? However, Giriraj makes it so that his rocks, as soon as Krishna or any of his friends or cows, when they step on the rock melts in ecstasy and becomes so soft as if it is liquid. In fact, in many places at Govardhan Hill, like Shyamavan, we can even today actually see the footprints of Krishna on some of these rocks. when Krishna and his friends happened to step on a thorn, Giriraj arranges that the thorns become soft as a flower petal. And when he steps on the jagged stones, they become soft and very, very tender lotus flowers. Sri Giriraj is eternally offering his puja in every possible way for the pleasure of the Lord, especially for the pleasure of the Lord's devotees. Giriraj is also extremely compassionate to all living beings. He manifests that out of compassion by facilitating such wonderful pastimes for Krishna to enjoy, that those pastimes are enumerated by the Vaishnavas for the benefit of people in general. So, we will take a small virtual tour of Sri Giriraj, not the entire one, but maybe just a few places. One day the Braj Gopis were sitting on the banks of Manasi Ganga. They were feeling very intense pangs of separation from Lord Sri Krishna. At that time, the Lord appeared to them as a beautiful little 7-year-old boy lifting Govardhan Hill by the name of Haridev. And they worshipped Haridev on the banks of Manasi Ganga. And thus, Rajanab, he installed that very same deity of Haridev on the banks of Manasi Ganga 5,000 years ago. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan at Govardhan Hill, he personally entered the temple of Haridev and with great loving ecstasy took the darshan of Haridev and danced and sang in kirtan for many, many hours. And the people of Govardhan, in great astonishment, filled with the love of God in their heart, were able to witness the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu performing his dance of divine ecstasy in this temple while chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is recommended in the Shastras that the parikrama of Sri Giriraj should start from the Haridev temple. So you must have noticed that when His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj takes us for a parikrama to Brajabhumi and we go for Govardhan parikrama, we start our parikrama at Haridev temple. The stones on the Govardhan hill are non-different from Krishna himself. So, we should never put our feet on top of Govardhan hill or on any of the stones which lie around it. And this standard has been set by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all Gaudiya Vaishnavas follow in his footsteps and very carefully avoid placing our foot on top of any stone. Not only is Govardhan Haridas Varya, the greatest of all devotees of Krishna, but he is also Krishna himself. This is the pastime he enacted during Govardhan Puja. It is the most spectacular deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he accepts our worship very lovingly by allowing us to circumambulate him. Today, at the end of this class, we will all have this wonderful opportunity of circumambulating Govardhan, who has personally appeared in front of us to give us this benediction. Govardhan is the greatest devotee because he always gives pleasure and protection to the Lord's dear servants. Go means cows, and Vardhan means one who protects and gives nourishment. So by giving pleasure to the devotees, by protecting the Krishna consciousness of the devotees, that is the greatest worship of Sri Giriraj. Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki! Govardhan Hill is shaped like a peacock. The eyes are Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. The mouth is the Mukharavinda. The tail is Puchri, and the neck is Dhanghati. Dhanghati is a very, very narrow place. Just as in Barsana, there is a Sankli Khor, which is a very narrow place, where Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and the gopis, they enact the pastimes of collection of taxes. Krishna and Balram, they saw that the cowherd men were preparing for some sort of a sacrifice. And they could understand in their hearts that this sacrifice was being performed to pacify Indra, the king of heaven, who is responsible for supplying water. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a devotee of Krishna has strong and firm faith in the understanding that if he is simply engaged in Krishna consciousness and Krishna's transcendent and loving service, then he is freed from all other obligations. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna doesn't have to perform any of the ritualistic functions enjoined in the Vedas, nor is he required to worship any demigod. Being a devotee of Lord Krishna, one is understood to have performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and all kinds of worship to the demigods. One does not develop devotional service for Krishna by performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. In order to stop all such activities by his devotees, Krishna wanted to firmly establish exclusive devotional service during his presence in Vrindavan. Because he is the omniscient personality of Godhead, Krishna knew that the cowherd men were preparing for Indra sacrifice, but as a matter of etiquette, he began to inquire with great honor and submission from elder personalities like Maharaj Nanda. Krishna asked, "My dear father, what is this arrangement going on? What sort of a sacrifice is this? What is the result of such a sacrifice? And for whom is it meant? How is it performed? Will you kindly let me know? I am very eager to know this. So please explain to me the purpose of this sacrifice." At first, Nanda Maharaj ignored Krishna's questions, thinking that he is a little child and he will not understand. But Krishna insisted. He persisted and asked, "My dear father, for those who are liberal and saintly, there is no secrecy. They do not think anyone to be friend or enemy or neutral party because they are always open to everyone. But even for those who are not so liberal, nothing should be kept secret from a family member and friend. Therefore, you cannot keep any secrets from me because I am a part of your family. So Nand Maharaj said that this sacrifice that we are about to perform, it is according to our tradition. This ceremonial performance is being done because rainfall is due to the mercy of King Indra and the clouds are his representatives. And because water is so important for living, we must show some gratitude to the controller of this rainfall, Maharaj Indra. So, we are arranging the sacrifice to pacify him. After hearing this, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the presence of his father and all the elder cowherd men of Vrindavan, spoke in such a way as to make the heavenly king Indra very angry. He suggested that they forego this sacrifice, and his reasons for discouraging the sacrifice were twofold. First of all, he stated, there is no need to worship the demigods for any material advancement. And secondly, he said, whatever temporary result one derives from worshipping the demigods is actually granted by the permission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At this point, Lord Shri Krishna was thinking that although Indra is not a demon, he is my devotee. But sometimes the demigods become puffed up by the influence of material nature, thinking themselves all in all. They forget the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. So, although King Indra is certainly a devotee, Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. He first made Indra angry by stopping the Indra Puja. And then he began to talk and give an explanation. He told Nand Maharaj, he was expressing the philosophy of Karma Mimamsa. He put forward the argument that anyone works nicely, the result is sure to come. Why should we worship demigods? Every living being is born according to his past karma and leaves this life simply taking the result of his past karmas. By these arguments, Krishna, although propagating a bogus philosophy, was trying to negate the arguments put forward by Nand Maharaj. Nand Maharaj and the elderly members of the family, they argued that without satisfying the predominating God, one cannot derive any good results simply by material activities. And this is actually a fact. But somehow, Krishna was able to convince the Brijavasis because ultimately the Brijavasis do everything only to please Krishna. And because he said, they accepted. Lord Krishna, when he advised Nand Maharaj to stop the Indra Puja, he said that instead of performing this Indra Puja, we should worship Govardhan. Govardhan is supplying us with wonderful grass for the cows. It is supplying us wonderful water. And we are Vaishyas. Our prescribed duty is to protect the cows. And we are farming. So for us, the prescribed duty is to take care of the cows first. In this way, Lord Krishna, having convinced his father and the other Brijavasis to give up Indra Puja and instead carry out Govardhan Puja, at first, Nanda Maharaj tried to tell Krishna that, okay, we will perform Govardhan Puja, but that will be in addition to this Indra Puja which we are performing. So let us finish this Indra Puja now, and then we will perform Govardhan Puja. But Krishna, he said, my dear father, please don't delay. The sacrifice you propose for Govardhan and the local brahmanas will take much time. Better take the arrangement and paraphernalia you have already made for Indra Yajna and immediately engage them to satisfy Govardhan Hill and the local brahmanas. Maharaj Nanda finally relented. The coward man then inquired from Krishna how he wanted the yajna performed, and Krishna gave them the following directions. He said, prepare very nice foods of all descriptions from the grains and ghee collected from the yajna. Prepare rice, dal, halwa, pakoda, puri, and all kinds of milk preparations such as sweet rice, rabri, sweet balls, sandesh, rasgullas, ladus. And invite the learned brahmanas who can chant the Vedic hymns and offer oblations to the fire. The brahmanas should be given all kinds of grains in charity. Then decorate all the cows and feed them well. After performing this, give money in charity to the brahmanas. As far as the lower animals are concerned, such as the dogs, and the lower grades of people such as the chandalas or the fifth class of men who are considered untouchable, they also should be given sumptuous prasadam. After nice grasses have been given to the cows, the sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja may immediately begin. This sacrifice will very much satisfy me. So this sacrifice known as Govardhan Puja is observed by all the Brijavasis, all the Vaishnavas, all the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness all over the world. And to confirm the statement, Lord Krishna says that Govardhan Puja is as good as worship of myself. From that day, Govardhan Puja has been going on throughout the world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, therefore advised the coward men to stop Indra Yajna and begin Govardhan Puja in order to chastise Indra. The honest and simple coward men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, accepted Krishna's proposal and executed everything in detail as advised by him. They performed the Govardhan worship, and then all the Brijavasis, according to the instructions of Lord Krishna, they called learned brahmanas to perform the yajna and to chant the Vedic hymns, and offering prasad, arranging it in front of Govardhan. Huge mountains of preparations of whatever ingredients were available in their homes. They made lakes of liquid items like kheer and dal and other preparations, and huge mountains of solid preparation, placed it in front of Govardhan. And after having done that, placing the cows and the oxen in front of them, the Brajvasis, very beautifully decorated, started performing the circumambulation of Giriraj. At that time, Govardhan Hill assumed the form of a gigantic Lord Krishna, and with his long arms collected all the bhoga in front of him and swallowed it in one gulp. Lord Krishna was present right before the Brajavasis in both his forms. As a little boy of 7 years in front of Govardhan, and as Giriraj Maharaj in front of all the Brajavasis in the gigantic form of Govardhan. When they saw this amazing sight, Govardhan started asking for more. He started in a very loud rumbling voice calling, "Anyor, Anyor, give me more, give me more." The Brajavasis had exhausted all the food items in their homes. They had nothing left to offer him. Then one Brahmana offered him a tulsi leaf, and then Govardhan was fully satisfied. And what happened? All that he has swallowed came right back in front of all the devotees as Govardhan Mahaprasad, Giriraj Maharaj Ki. The devotees then, having enjoyed this wonderful festival, were circumambulating, were chanting, and they were dancing, and they all went to their respective homes after completing this beautiful festival. Everyone was fully satisfied. Everyone was very happy. Everyone was in an ecstasy, except one person, Indra. Indra was very angry. The entire sacrifice, which was meant for him, was offered to Govardhan, a hill, on the advice of a little talkative boy. He felt so insulted. He felt so humiliated. He wanted to take revenge. He immediately called for his clouds, Samvartaka clouds. Now these Samvartaka clouds, they are nothing like these tiny clouds that we see here in Bombay. These Samvartaka clouds are called when this entire universe has got to be devastated. That is their power. So on the order of Indra, these huge clouds, they were asked by him to go over Vrindavan and pour in such intensity so that all the Brijavasis are annihilated. There was thunderstorm, lightning, hailstorms, cyclones. Water was coming down
in pillars, not in drops.
At this point, all the Brijavasis, they were feeling so cold and miserable. And whenever the Brijavasis are faced with a problem, they have only one recourse. They go to Krishna and approach him in a very surrendered mood. They say, Krishna, Krishna, please help us. We are helpless. Look at these cows. They are totally drenched. They are weeping because the calves are totally drenched. They are trying to protect them with their own bodies. But this rain is so incessant. And that too, this is not the part of the year when it is a rainy season. Please help us. Krishna understood that this is nothing but Indra retaliating. The situation was very dangerous. The rainfall was accompanied by great winds, and every living creature in Vrindavan began to tremble from severe cold. So at that time, Krishna thought that these are my devotees and it is my duty to protect them. Upon hearing their prayer, Krishna could understand that because the sacrificial honor was denied to Indra, he was pouring such heavy rain. He said, I shall teach him that he is not autonomous in managing universal affairs. I am the Supreme Lord over all, and I shall thus take away his false prestige, which has risen from his power. The demigods are my devotees, and therefore it is not possible for them to forget my supremacy. But somehow or other, he has become puffed up with material power and thus is now maddened. I shall act in such a way as to relieve him of this false prestige. I shall give protection to my pure devotees in Vrindavan, who are at present completely dependent on my mercy and whom I have taken completely under my protection. I must save them by my mystic power. Thinking in this way, Lord Krishna immediately picked up the Govardhan hill with one hand, exactly as a child picks up a mushroom from the ground. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki! At that time, there was an immense shattering, rumbling sound on the earth when Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. Thus he exhibited his transcendental pastime of lifting the Govardhan hill, and he addressed his devotees by saying, my dear brothers, my dear father, my dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, you can now safely enter under this umbrella of Govardhan hill, which I have just lifted. Do not be afraid of the hill and think that it will fall from my hand. You have been too much afflicted from the heavy rain and strong wind. Therefore, I have lifted this hill, which will protect you exactly like a huge umbrella. I think this is the proper arrangement to relieve you of your immediate distress. Being assured by Lord Krishna, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan entered beneath the great hill along with their property and animals, and they all appeared to be safe. The Brijavasis were amazed. They were in a mood. All of them surrounded Krishna from all directions, and Krishna was glancing at them. Each Brijavasi was thinking within his heart that Krishna is glancing only at me. The Brahmanas were giving him blessings. His coward friends were exchanging jokes with him and gazing at his beautiful face. The young gopis, their eyes were like the chakora bird, drinking the nectar of the beautiful face of Gopal. The elderly gopis, they were smelling his head and giving him innumerable blessings. Madhumangal, who is known as Batuk, he said, actually this held, the hill which you think Krishna is holding on the little finger of his left hand, is held because of my Brahmanical powers. I have chanted such mantras that Krishna is able to lift this hill. Yashoda Mai, she was very disturbed. She was chastising Krishna that you impudent boy, look what you have done. You never take advice from others. Because of you, everyone has to suffer. And look, Indra has, because he was denied of his sacrifice, he has put all the Brijavasis into so much difficulty. But she was also having that maternal affection for this little Krishna. And she was saying that, Krishna, your hand is soft like butter. And this huge mountain, it is so heavy. How will you be able to bear the load? So she started praying to Giriraj in her heart. And she was saying, please, give me this one benediction. For some time now, become soft and light so that little Krishna has no difficulty in holding you. Batuk, he said, Ma, why are you chastising Krishna? It is because of Indra's anger that we can see this beautiful nectarian pastime of Krishna holding the Govardhan hill on his little finger of his left hand. Yashoda said, this is nothing nectarian. This is not a festival. Can't you see Krishna's soft lotus-like hand has become dried up as if the lotus were dried in an afternoon hot sun? In the meantime, Krishna intervened and said, please don't worry, I am having fun. Actually, I am not lifting this hill. Govardhan is floating on its own in air, and it only seems that I am carrying it. Yashoda Mai said, if this is true, I will believe you only if Govardhan floats on its own and rises above. Nanda Maharaj said to Yashoda, why are you scolding Madhumangal? Madhumangal was at all times cracking jokes. And Yashoda Mai was feeling too much distress. So she was chastising Madhumangal and saying, why are you disturbing Krishna? Nanda Maharaj said, actually at this moment, Krishna needs encouragement, and Madhumangal, by cracking jokes and patting him on the back, is encouraging him to lift this Govardhan hill. So please don't chastise Madhumangal. The Brijavasis they were enchanted on seeing this most beautiful Giridhari Tribhanga form where Krishna had three bends in his most beautiful body. At this time, while he was holding the Govardhan on the little finger of his left hand, he pulled out his flute from his dhoti and started playing on it with his right hand. Madhu Mangal chastised him. He said, "Stop it! This is no time to play the flute. Don't you know that when you play the flute, we all become ecstatic? What will happen if Giriraj becomes ecstatic? He will fall on us and we'll all die." The Gopas, in this way, they were praying to Giriraj that please remain stable and do not drop on us in your ecstasies. One Brijabasi, he said to Radhika, "Do not move your eyebrows, because if Krishna sees that, he will become ecstatic and he'll forget he's holding Govardhan in his hand and he'll just drop it on us." The Sakhi, she was telling Srimati Radharani that, "Do you see the tears in Krishna's eyes? Do you see his limbs trembling? And do you see the eruptions on his body? Everyone is thinking that these are the symptoms of becoming tired by carrying the Govardhan hill. But actually these are his symptoms of ecstasy just by seeing you." Srimati Radharani, in a very coy way, just looked at the ground. Some of the elderly gopas, they thought that Krishna must be very tired, so let us help him by holding the Govardhan with our sticks. So they all held up their sticks to hold Govardhan. Madhu Mangal said, "What are you doing? You are only scratching the lower surface of Govardhan. Krishna doesn't need your help. He is the brother of Balaram, who is the strongest of them all, and he is able to hold this Govardhan on his own." Yashoda Mai, she told Krishna, "You must be very tired and you must be very hungry. Look, your face has shrunk. Your belly has caved in. I have brought some very, very soft cakes. And I have also brought lots of yogurt and butter and many other preparations. I would like to serve you so that you can distribute to all your friends and you can enjoy this meal." This was the only argument of Mother Yashoda that Madhu Mangal agreed with. He said, "Yes, Mother, please, I am also feeling very hungry." In this way, many pastimes were going on below this Govardhan hill. Let us see what was happening above the hill. In spite of the incessant rains, in spite of the tornadoes, the cyclones and the hails, birds were flying, deers were running here and there, and peacocks were strutting on the Govardhan hill as if nothing has happened. On seeing this, Indra became even more angry and he was pushing the clouds, the Samvartaka clouds, "Harder, harder! I am right behind you with my Airavata elephant. Don't give up hope. Destroy them." While this sort of a devastation was happening, on top of the Govardhan. Kavi Kurunapur explains that there were two types of storms. One was on top of the Govardhan, which was created by Indra, and one was below the Govardhan. What was the storm below the Govardhan? Krishna looked like a blue rain cloud. His peacock feather looked like a beautiful rainbow. And all the Brijavasis, they were seeing this wonderful, wonderful form of Krishna. The yellow dhoti was like the lightning. And this storm below the Govardhan was giving immense pleasure to all the Brijavasis. Those who were in Shantaras, they were trying to please Krishna. Those who were in Dasyaras, like Raktaka and others, they were rendering menial services for Krishna. Those who were in Sakhiras, like Subal, Sridhama, Madhumangal, they were cracking jokes, embracing him, and telling him stories, and laughing with him. Those who were in Madhuryaras, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they were exchanging loving glances. But only those who were in Vatsalyaras, they were totally distressed. Led by Yashoda Mai and all the other elderly gopis, they were so much concerned about Krishna that they were enjoying the ecstasy of Vatsalyaras in separation. Yashoda Mai, she said, "I would like to prepare a tambula for you. If you do not feel like having a tambula, I will make whatever you want. But please tell me, I wish to immediately render this service to you." So Lord Krishna, he just made a gesture of asking Yashoda Mai to prepare the tambula for him. She prepared the tambula and gave it to Subal. Subal, with one hand, removed the flute from the Lord's lips, and with another hand, he put the tambula in his mouth, which the Lord started chewing. The inhabitants of Vrindavan and their animals remained there for 1 week without being disturbed by hunger, thirst, or any other discomfort. They were simply astonished to see how Krishna was holding up the mountain with the little finger of his left hand. But this was a rare opportunity for him, because his coward friends, they would get a chance to associate with Krishna only during daytime when they went out herding the cows and the calves. And the evening, they would come back, they would not have the association of Krishna, because at that time, he would be having the association of the gopis and Srimati Radharani. And the gopis would have the association of Krishna only in the evenings at night, and not during daytime when he goes out with his gopa friends. But under Govardhan, all the gopis and all the gopas were having his association for 24/7. All the 24 hours of the 7 days, when this little 7-year-old boy was holding the Govardhan on the little finger of his left hand, they were enjoying this wonderful pastimes and exchanges. Seeing the extraordinary mystic powers of Krishna, Indra, the king of heaven, was thunderstruck. He was baffled. He immediately called for all the clouds and asked them to desist and come back. The clouds fell at the feet of Indra, and whatever little water was left in them, they were weeping with that water. And they said, "We are sorry, we could not carry out your orders." When the sky became completely cleared, and when the sun was shining, Krishna, who was then known as the lifter of Govardhan Hill, he said, "My dear coward men, now you can leave and take your wives, children, cows and valuables, because everything has ended. The inundation has gone down along with the swelling waters of the river. And all the men, loaded with their valuables, carts, slowly left with their cows and other paraphernalia. And after they had cleared out everything, Lord Krishna, very slowly, replaced Govardhan Hill in exactly the same position it had been before. When everything was done, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan approached Krishna with feelings of love and embraced him with great ecstasy. The gopas, being naturally very affectionate to Krishna, began to offer him yogurt mixed with their tears, and they poured incessant blessings upon him. Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda and Balram, who is the strongest of the strong, embraced Krishna one after another from spontaneous feelings of affection, blessed him over and over again. In the heavens, different demigods from different planetary systems, such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka and Chandraloka, also began to show their complete satisfaction. They poured showers of flowers on the surface of the earth and sounded different conch shells and kettle drums. As usual, the gopas began to chant the glorious pastimes of Lord Krishna with great feeling, for they were chanting from their heart. When Krishna saved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra by lifting Govardhan Hill, a Surabhi cow from Goloka, as well as King Indra from the heavenly planets, they appeared before him. What had happened was, Indra realized that he has committed a big offense. So he approached his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Brihaspati asked him, "How could you commit such an offense? You are doomed. You have committed an offense against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no way anyone can save you." Lord Indra begged. Brihaspati said, "Yes, there may be only one chance. There is no question of you approaching Lord Krishna directly yourself. But if you approach one of his devotees, and if that devotee on your behalf offers prayers to Krishna, maybe he will forgive you." And since Indra knew that cows are most dear to Lord Krishna, he approached Surabhi and begged her to, on his behalf, render prayers to Lord Shri Krishna. So Surabhi and Indra, they approached Lord Krishna. And Indra said, "My dear Lord, Being puffed up by my false prestige, I thought that you had offended me by not allowing the coward men to perform the Indra Yajna. And I thought that you wanted to enjoy the offerings that were arranged for the sacrifice. I thought that in the name of Govardhan sacrifice, you were taking my share of profit, and therefore I mistook your position. Now by your grace, I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, and that you are transcendental to all material qualities, and you have appeared as this little boy in Vrindavan. Thus, praised by Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead smiled beautifully and then replied in a grave voice like rumbling cloud. My dear Indra, I stopped your sacrifice just to show you my causeless mercy and to remind you that I am your eternal master. I am the master not only of you but of all the other demigods as well. You should always remember that all your material opulences are due to my mercy. No living entity can independently become opulent. One must be favored by my mercy. Everyone should always remember that I am the Supreme Lord. I can show anyone my favor and I can chastise anyone because no one is superior to me. After this, the transcendental Surabhi cow, who had come with Indra to see Krishna, offered her respectful obeisances unto him and worshipped him. She offered her prayers and she said that, my dear Lord Krishna, you are the most powerful of all mystic yogis because you are the soul of the complete universe. And only from you has all this cosmic manifestation taken place. Therefore, although Indra tried his best to kill my descendant cows in Vrindavan, they remained under your shelter and you have protected them. We do not know anyone else as the Supreme, nor do we go to any other god or demigod for protection. Therefore, you are our Indra. You are the Supreme Father of the whole cosmic manifestation, and you are the protector and elevator of all the cows, brahmanas, demigods, and others who are pure devotees of your lordship. Thus speaking, Indra offered his obeisances and Surabhi was there at the place which is today known as Govindakund. Indra came there along with so many other demigods and to express his gratitude to Lord Krishna, they arranged to perform a abhishek and they coronated Krishna as Govinda, the king, the real Indra, king of all the universes. Here they performed an abhishek, which was a wonderful puja. Varuna appeared and offered a celestial umbrella. Vayu, he offered the chamara fans to fan Krishna. Agni offered the celestial incense. Chandra, he brought a beautiful bejeweled mirror for the Lord to see himself in. Surabhi, she came to offer her blessed milk and the panchagavya. Lord Brahma came to be the head priest. Lord Shiva came to give his blessings. And with the permission of Shiva and the direction of Brahma, it is explained that Surabhi, along with seven chaste women, who were the wives of the rishis and the sages, they all performed a beautiful, beautiful Abhishek ceremony of Lord Krishna. Panchajanya came to blow the conch shell. Sudarshan, he illuminated all the directions. Krishna's club, Kaumudika, he guarded the area. Personified rivers, ocean, lakes and ponds brought auspicious waters. Bhumi Devi, she brought a box of gold filled with innumerable precious herbs. Garuda, he spread his wings, forming a canopy. And the Nagas, they spread their hoods like flags. Personified mantras chanted the hymns. Airavat came. He brought Akash Ganga for the bath with his four tusks. Apsaras danced. Gandharvas sang and played the musical instruments. It was at that time that Brahma offered Panchamrita and performed the arati of Lord Krishna. He then placed a crown on his head and formally declared that Krishna is the supreme Indra. Bhagwan Shri Krishna ki. He is the Lord of all universes. After the demigods had completed their worship, they offered their obeisances and they returned to their respectable abodes. Krishna was sitting on a beautiful throne made of stones from the Govardhan. At that time, the cowherd boys who were looking for their cows, they came by and they saw Krishna sitting very beautifully. And all this beautiful paraphernalia of puja brought by the demigods. So the cowherd boys picked up this paraphernalia and they started offering arati and puja to Krishna in a very playful mood. They were fanning him, they were holding the umbrella, they were offering the incense and the lamps and singing beautiful songs. When the demigods looked down and they saw this, they were totally ashamed. Seeing the type of devotion, the simple and spontaneous love of the cowherd boys, they realized that they have no devotion at all. Seeing these little children worshipping Krishna with such pure love, they were dancing, they were singing so sweetly, the demigods in their hearts of hearts worshipped the lotus feet of the gopas of Vrindavan. At this time, Nanda Maharaj came and he saw what's going on. He asked, "Where did all this beautiful paraphernalia come from? What is happening here?" Sridharma explained. He said that we came here searching for our cows and we came here, we found that all this beautiful paraphernalia is lying here. Madhu Mangal explained that when he came, he saw such unbelievable incidents. He said, there was this cow who was talking to Krishna. And then he saw this man with thousands of eyes on his body. He was paying obeisances to Krishna. Then we saw a man with four heads. And then another man with five heads. They were all offering their prayers. Then we saw a big elephant with four tusks. He had brought Ganges with him. And then we saw this beautiful cow. She was giving unlimited quantities of milk to bathe Krishna. At that time, a celestial voice came from the sky. It was the voice of the demigods. And they told Nanda Maharaj, just as we have coronated Krishna, the Lord of all, you should coronate Krishna as the Lord of Braja. So now all the Brajavasis, they performed a beautiful abhishek for Krishna at Govind Kund. Yashoda Mai, she offered the arati. And thus, in this place, where the waters of all these divine personalities build the glorification of Lord Sri Krishna. I have been instructed to wind up the class at 2:30. I am sorry for taking so much of your time. But just before we start the puja by circumambulating Govardhan, there is one prayer which I will chant, and please all of you repeat. Namaste Girirajaya Sri Govardhana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayine Namaste Girirajaya Sri Govardhana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayine Namaste Girirajaya Sri Govardhana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Dayine. I offer my obeisances unto the King of all hills, Govardhan Hill, the source of enjoyment for the senses, land and cows. He is a servant of Krishna and he is Krishna himself. He puts an end to unlimited sufferings and bestows the supreme bliss. Giriraj Maharaj ki! Srila Prabhupada ki! Thank you very much.